on your mind? How was the month, and what's on your mind today?
The month is going well. You know, we've had a lot of new money flowing in, several 401k rollovers that I liken that more to market conditions than I do to, you know,
people retiring.
Anything. Yeah, this tends to be more of a, you know, when things are hot, people throw money at you. And when things are, when they go the other way, they start yanking it out. So,
yeah, it's nice. It's a nice time. Take, you know, we all need to take advantage of it. You know, we always say, well, you play hard while the game is still, while it's still hot. You know, you want to gather as much as you can because it doesn't last forever. Smart. What else?
Hello, Matt. Way down there.
Hey, Matt.
Missed you in the pool, man. Now that you're married, you don't need to swim anymore?
I've been trying to get in there. It's tough these days with all the schedules and stuff. You gotta do it like the day before, you know. I try to sneak it in when I can, but everything's full. In fact, I looked at it today. Anyway, but yeah, I'm always keeping my eyes out for you there.
So
that's half of it, looking at the schedule.
You're a swimmer?
Yeah, that's right.
Are you a swimmer?
He's at everything.
Yeah.
That's good.
I swim a mile a day.
That's great. That's good. That's excellent. Excellent conditioning. So Kyle, how's it going?
On yesterday or the day before with Keith was, you know, Zoom kind of, or not Zoom, the virus kind of forced me to learn things that I wouldn't have picked up the way I would or I have. I guess example yesterday is client wanted to do a rollover. You know, I never would have asked to share a screen with them in the past, but it's become so commonplace. I said, if I were to send you a link, can you get on Zoom? And we share a screen. He shares a screen. And then, you know, from there, I say, hey, you got 5 more minutes. Let's go into your plan. We swap screens to mine and, you know, jump into the financial plan. And I never would have been comfortable doing that before. So that's a good thing. I guess one thing I'm struggling with is, and part of this is just us and our platform, but is like having an organized way of attacking it instead of just trying to plan for everybody when I talk to them, if I get the chance, you know what I mean? And then like a system, you know, outside of the monthly review, but I guess like, you know, if a new broker comes in and they're sitting down with every new person from day one and building a plan, it's a tough business to start, but they have an advantage in the sense of the planning starting from scratch and they get to have those conversations. We're in a situation where we're playing catch up where some people don't see the urgency that we have. So we need to get the plan up for them to understand the urgency, which I can't do unless they're interested. So I guess organizationally how to manage that on this scale, but you know, on
okay.
The good side, I'm learning to use a lot of these
here's,
tools.
Here's what I would do. I would do your regular 12-4-2s, right? So you're calling every client every month, and during that call, you get permission to establish another call. Okay? So you talk about the process and the financial planning process, you get their permission, and now you've got a second scheduled call. Now you don't have to do that all the time, obviously, but where you're trying to sell a product or a service, regardless of what it is, you really don't have time on the 12-4-2 to always complete that. For example, long-term care. It may take, once you've decided that the client has an interest in it, and that requires a follow-up call and some more work. So whether it's financial planning or long-term care or a mortgage, get permission to set up another call and then send them an agenda before that call. and include in that agenda the links that you need to for them to go to in order to be prepared for that call. And then when you're done, send them an executive summary of what was included in that call and any action steps that they need to do to follow up. So in the 401k rollover example, you would follow up by telling them the next steps that they need to engage in order to transfer that in and so forth.
Okay.
So then they're not being surprised by anything. They're prepared and you're prepared. And then you've got that little sales manager that goes out to them that says, these are your next steps that you need to follow through in order to help me help you. Right. So it sounds like a lot of work, but it in fact is less work. And you'll close a much higher percentage of the cases because you look very organized, and people like to hire people that are very organized because they're not very organized. They want somebody that is.
And I'm finding that once the plan is built, say we work with one of the spouses, the husband or the wife, I'm finding that once the plan's built, the partner who already has accounts with us wants the other to come see it. And then typically at the end of the conversation, one looks at the other and says, are you ready to move it now? And we don't have to initiate that because typically the person who already works with us is on the fence for their spouse to consolidate. And that gets us over the hurdle. But I guess what I'm hearing is maybe it's okay to have it broken into pieces instead of feeling like I need to get a plan up running and presented. It's, you know, because a lot of times the initial conversation takes an hour just to talk about when they're going to retire or how Social Security works or their grandkids' car, you know, who knows how, you know, how it goes. But no, that's helpful. I guess part of it's organization on my part too, but I'm seeing the benefits and the power of the planning. I'm just trying to get more organized and doing
well. The financial plan is the beginning. Remember, Supernova is everybody gets a financial plan. Then everybody gets 1242, and the 1242 is designed not to be an annoyance. 1242 is to help you implement the plan so you don't have to do it all at once. Okay. So, you know, you have 12 contacts, 4 reviews of the plan to them in person. Those in-person calls will become more and more important because of COVID, but you've also learned to leverage technology now so that all the other calls are very efficient and very productive. I just had a team use, just like you did, you know, it was shocking to them how effective. This was a great story. It was an FA with a $10 million prospect in the room. They had a Zoom TV there opposite them. And they had different, he presented, their team to the prospect. And then the team was on the call, was like this on the Zoom, and they presented their portions of the presentation. They were using a pitch book. And then they had various people from the firm come in at different times. During the presentation, it took about 90 minutes, and they did that all on Zoom. And there was somebody, because she was late, somebody behind the scenes scheduling all those other people to come in at the exact right time. But he said it was unbelievable how effective and efficient it was. And she was very impressed, but he's there to hand her the folder and say, hey, this is all the things we're going to do, but I just want to make sure that you understand that we're going to talk every month. You'll have a financial plan, and here's your folder. Exactly how this will work. Here's a place where you take notes. Here's where the agenda is going to go. And that's all the client wants is to know that it's not going to be complicated. once this presentation's over, we're going to shut the screen off, and the only person you have to remember is me. Okay. I'm going to be your 1242 contact person. It's real simple, but I have all these people behind me to take care of things. So, that service presentation is critical to making it happen. But for you to say, you know, on those 1242s, every time we're going to have an agenda and we get executive summary after each one. So you don't have to, you can take notes. We like you to take notes, but know that we're going to send you an executive summary after each call. So that, and so you guys don't need to do this with every client, right? You do it with the top 10 and do 1242 plus an agenda, an executive summary. That the top 10 are going to stay and the top 10 are going to refer you people like themselves. So it changes, you know, not, it, and once you get used to doing it with 10 and you see the benefits, then you're going to do it with 20 and 30 and 40 and pretty soon everybody. And then it also says, why do we need to keep these other people? It doesn't make any sense for us and for them. It's, you know, we're not doing them any good. They do better off with somebody else and they're calling and interrupting and using our team and wrecking our day and they're not paying us. So why are we doing that? Doesn't make any sense. So this team was, I don't know, month eight or something like that. And you know, they're just like you guys are knocking it out of the park, but they're really organizing now. Now they're about where you are, month four. But their team is really well organized and the roles and responsibilities is really helping them a tremendous amount. And the teammates are all going, wow, this is wonderful. So when I hear it from the teammates, that's when I say these roles and responsibility things really work. So, and the use of checklists, you know, onboarding client checklists, the whole process of checklists.
Yeah. Or, well, that's like the other day, Cindy sent me this questionnaire for the client that I've never seen before. And it actually had all the stuff on there that we have to put in the computer versus the one I have got that I think Tamara made on a etch and sketch 38 year. I don't know. But anyways, I don't know. That's a good idea. You just can't forget. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah. So what else?
One area we haven't done anything is offloading clients that are not, I don't want to say worth, that's not a nice word, but not serving a purpose in our book of business. That's one thing I don't think we've done. I think, I don't know if we start small and just pick a couple to start on, but, just being honest, that's one area we haven't really done anything. I don't know that we're keen on doing too much of it, but there's definitely some low hanging fruit that I think, like me and Cindy were talking about yesterday, you know, that there's no value to her wasting her time on someone who's doing,
as I like to say, time suckers that don't get anywhere.
Inherited from someone else that's not, yeah. But that's one thing we really need to work on.
And you know, they're going to be better off. Because, you know, it's a question of priorities. You know, you say, these clients are frankly, they're not, we have a minimum fee and they're not paying that. Let's say it's $5,000. They're not paying that fee, but they are getting the same level of service as the guy paying us $100,000
or more.
And, right. And they expect that service and they think it's rude when you don't give them super service and you can't give them super service to everybody. So who suffers? Well, your better clients suffer because you don't have time for them. So Cindy doesn't have, you know, it may not be a problem for you, Kyle, but it's a problem for Cindy. And that's the question is, respect for your own teammates is really important here in terms of respecting their time and expecting them to understand. They prioritize things, tell you what to do, and then you've got to listen. Okay? You want me to raise my productivity? Then please listen to me and say, I cannot deal with all these small clients. It's not smart. So we got a choice. We can hire another person and give them the small accounts and hire another sales assistant to take care of them, or we can reassign them. And as we say, your brand is not determined by your best client, but by your worst client. So what is that person saying about you in the community? How often do you call them? What kind of level of service do they get? What's their, if you said, what's your service experience with this team? Well, how would they describe it? You know, what I find is that half the time they can't remember who their FA is. Okay. And so how do they describe the service? It isn't any, right? They call when they need you. And so that's no branding. So you're wasting all the work you make in doing great for your good clients is being wasted on your bad clients because they're not even saying anything. And if they got interviewed by the Wall Street Journal, they'd say terrible things. So that's the key, is not your brand, is your smallest client. So you just have to, you know, say, who do we want to be when we grow up? Is this the practice that we want, or is this the practice that we kind of felt, you know, grew into? We all grow into a practice. The question is, how do we want it to go for the next 10 years? Wouldn't we like more of those $10 million clients that, and give them a special experience? So that's just, you know, that's what we do at Supernova. 80-20 rule. Focus. And give great experiences and be proud of what we do.
Okay. I just signed a two-year working contract.
So what else?
No, the non-compete was for 2 years.
I think one big benefit that we've realized, and been having a little bit of momentum with is, you know, for newer accounts and going forward, we're being a little more careful about being selective. I don't know that we've had enough, you know, people coming our way to turn anybody away, but I think just in the way we're thinking about how to manage relationships going forward, we've kind of shifted the way we think almost inadvertently, but, you know, in terms of using firm discretion or using, you know, just scalable solutions, but I definitely need to work on the organization.
It will help you. You build it and then you stick with it. It's a check, just the concept of checklist process.
So one thing I'd like to capitalize on is like right now, everybody's doing their taxes. Everybody's thinking about us because they're getting a 1099. So it's a good time of year to say, hey, you know, it's a good time to look at where you're at. People are thinking about where they're at and where they're going. So it's a good time of year to think about the financial planning. It's a good time of year to use that momentum to get people moving. So I guess I'm just curious your thoughts on any effective ways to, or just your thoughts on that, cause people are calling in anyways with nothing other than, hey, am I reading this right? And then I can kind of take it from there. But,
well, I mean, one of the things that, you know, I hearken back to the 24 month calendar of activities. You build that 24 month calendar out of what are we going to talk about next month? So we're going to do our 12-4-2s and we're going to talk about to every client about a subject. Let's prepare for that. Let's get ready for that. And this month, let's talk about something that they're all interested in. And as you said, then you get permission to have a second call and follow up on that product or service. And, you know, I'm right now going through estate planning, right? I did most of my estate planning when I was 50. I moved to Florida and I redid it, and now it's getting really complicated, right? Because I've got a grant that's coming due. I've got all kinds of stuff happening. And so I need to go back and think about what am I going to do with beneficiaries? And, you know, are they still the same beneficiaries that I wanted? So those, you know, you could say, okay, this month for clients with 10 million or more, we're going to talk about grants with all of them. Cause some of them are worried that, you know, what if we do have a 2025, the expiration for this wonderful, $23 million exemption that we have right now, that's going to expire. It's going to go in half, right? So what if it gets worse? What if they pass legislation that says that there is no exemption? Not even 5 million. It goes to zero. And so we're going to tax you at 50% on your entire estate. Well, that's like a panic right then. And everybody's going to throw things into grants and into spousal trusts and all kinds of things. And so the question is, can we get ahead of that? By maybe having these calls. So month of, you know, on a light month, maybe we talk to every client about a grant. Or a spousal exclusion or a spousal trust. And just really use this time to educate our clients on what's available in the estate planning area for wealthy people. So let's say you bifurcate it. One month, this month or coming up in May, we'll talk to our smaller clients about long-term care, and our wealthier clients will talk about grants. Okay. So therefore, you guys, and once you start talking about a grant, then estate planning and financial planning all becomes part of it. You know, we really have never done a complete financial plan. We really need to do that for you. So you get permission to do that, and then you get the permission to follow up with an estate planning attorney on the grant. So now we're being proactive in terms of generating new business. And we're really helping the clients, educating the clients.
Being tactical about the topics and how you use them to lead you where you want to go.
Right, right. So you're getting permission to follow up and do the work that you guys are paid to do, which is not, you know, distributions on IRAs. You're paid to really use your brain, right? And help them on things they didn't know about. And the estate planning attorney will bring this stuff up, but how many people really, I mean, I probably haven't talked to my estate planning attorney in 5 years, right? So have I filed all on my dynasty trust? Have I filed all my exemptions, you know, for the use of my exemption, my tax forms for that? No, I did it in 2000. And that's supposed to be, those guys are supposed to file that, but I don't know. So I got a lot of follow up to do, and how many other people are in my position now? And they got to find taxes somewhere, guys. So either the tax rate's going up or the estate tax rate's going up, or there's going to be an asset tax on all the assets, or there's going to be something. It's probably all the above. They'll try, and our clients are, we don't want to wait till our clients are in a panic. We want to get them ready. So I think, this is probably the subject that's near and dearest to your wealthy clients. I know that. So if you're trying to do estate, and estate planning for somebody with $1 million is not really very interesting, right? You want estate planning for somebody with 20 million and 10 million and 15 million. That's where it gets interesting because they can actually do stuff. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, not to be repetitive, I guess I'm just, it's hard to, we're still trying to move from reactive to proactive, but when you start trying to be proactive, there's still incoming stuff that you feel like you're not getting to because you're trying to do this new, you know what I mean? So it's just like a...
Well, it's the difference between an emergency room and a concierge practice. How do you have both in the same practice? It's very hard. You decide, I'm going to be a concierge practice. I'm going to have a limited number of clients. I'm going to focus and give them extraordinary experience. They're willing to pay me then. And I don't have to make excuses for my fees, right? Because we're getting 12-4-2. We're getting all this financial planning. We're getting rapid response to problems. I don't have to say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm charging you 1% or 0.75%. I feel bad about that. No, you don't feel bad. You feel like you earned it. The emergency room is great. That's for Edward Jones, 2,000 clients. They come in and, you know, stop the bleeding or do whatever that happens. And that's great. That's their model. And everybody thinks they give great service because they don't expect anything. But that's not our model. Our model is one of limited number of clients, getting great experience, exposed to all the products and services with no turnover. No turnover of accounts. And you won't have any. And your clients, just like they do today, will refer more business, but they'll refer more business to you. And serious business. And then when you go to a CPA, an attorney, a center of influence, you have something to sell to them. Rather than, we're nice guys, we're friends, you should do business with us. Right? You actually are doing something for the clients that other people aren't doing. So that's where it really starts to pay off. And that's when you get the $20 million referrals and the $10 million referrals, because nobody's doing a better job. Go ahead, Keith.
No, I was addressing the same person, just getting Cindy's input from a couple months of fresh eyes on a new practice she's been working with. If she's got any thoughts or observations over the last, since the beginning of the year.
As to what Kyle was saying, it's like you guys are in this transition period, and one of the observations that I see, and I don't know how we approach this. I know, Keith, there's a lot of times that you are, assigning, you know, tasks for me to do, move money around or whatnot. And maybe with the way it's supposed to happen that I take all of that, that you kind of do a warm handoff to me. Or, you know, get me on the line to talk to the client. And so that, because that takes some of that onus off of you so that you guys can focus in on the other part. Am I making any sense on that?
what are you saying?
Well, cause what I think about is, the ownership and of doing certain things, where it's not as a triage, like it's not the emergency room. So like if somebody calls in for Keith and they need funds, instead of Keith going, okay, yeah, I'll do that and we'll give it to, you know, I'll email Cindy. I don't know if possibly we could start training people to call me directly, so maybe start doing warm handoffs, or saying, hey, you know, I please reach out to Cindy on this, or let me transfer you over to Cindy if she can help you with that kind of thing. So that Kyle and Keith can focus more in on doing that 12-4-2 and working on those financial plans as opposed to, and whether it's for some of, you know, the top 10 or whoever it may be, that's kind of something I've thought about.
What I hear you saying is I'd like to do my job.
Yes. Thank you, Rob.
I'd like to do my job. You do your job. I'll do my job. Please give me the work.
Yes.
She makes a good point, though, because you know, client calls and says blah, 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 and I get a message, can you call so-and-so back? And, you know, I call them and all they need is something that technically they could have told Cindy, but in my mind, it's like, well, now they know because it was so simple. But if I'm not telling them, hey, you know, in the future, if I didn't get back to you by 4, you would have to wait 2 more days to get these funds. You know, if it's something simple like this, you know. Yeah.
And I do ask before, you know, when I do pick up your
funds.
But
if I tell them, you know, hey, if you're waiting on me, don't feel like you have to wait. Feel free to tell Cindy. She'll reach out if she needs us to sell something, you know, beforehand. You know what I mean? Just kind of reassure.
Here's Kyle. Here's what you do. You don't do it. You say, just a moment. Transfer.
Yep.
Okay. I'm transferring you to Cindy. She takes care of this. I love you. Cindy does this. She does it better than I do it. I love you. Go.
And Kyle, I know it will be painful for you at first because
if you want to be a sales assistant, great. But that's not what they're paying you for.
Yeah.
So Kyle's a fixer. I've been in the branch. I was observing you the last couple of weeks, Kyle, and I was just, I was totally eavesdropping on your call. And I'm like, if he don't transfer that call to Cindy, I mean, because that's what he does. He's just, I don't even think it's because he necessarily does not know how to step into his role. I just think he wants to see it through from start to finish. So it's done. But yeah, most of the calls you took this week, I was like, that need to go to Cindy. That should go to Cindy. Why is he talking about that with this client? That's not financial advisor stuff. So, you know, there's some sandbox issues here. And Cindy's so sweet. She's not going to just say it. She wants Kyle out of her sandbox. And we're trying to figure out the best way to get build muscle memory for Kyle to be okay.
All right,
transferring that call.
If he's on the phone doing 12-4-2s, he can't be doing sales assistant work. It's called displacement. You displace with the big rocks. Okay? So, Kyle, you fill up your day with 12-4-2s, and then you don't have time to be a sales assistant. Okay? I'm sorry, you're on the phone. I'm sorry, he's on the phone. You're busy. You're on the phone. Choose. You want to be a sales assistant? A lot of people do. But if you want to be a financial advisor, get on the phone. Look, productivity is simple. For you and for Keith, if you're on the phone with a client or a prospect, you're doing your job. Doing business. Okay? If you're not, you're doing somebody else's job. So that's it. That's how you raise productivity. Give people the opportunity to do their jobs, and you do your job. Cindy's not paid to bring in money. You are. If you're not bringing in money, you're not doing your job. Bring in money, do business.
You know, it's interesting. Rob does exactly that because there's another Cindy. That I've watched him many, many times when we're doing a coaching session. He just immediately goes, you have to talk to Cindy about that, and moves on to stay focused on the session. Same kind of concept.
Right. You want to know about how the scheduler works? Don't talk to me. I have no idea. I don't even want to learn it. Right? I used to not know how to do dishes. Now I do. Okay? I'm sad that I do. but I need to help my wife. All right. But the reality is I didn't want to know how to mow the lawn or shovel the driveway. I hire people to do that. That's what you do. Okay. You're a surgeon. You do surgery. You don't prep the case. You don't do anything except surgery. Because that's what you're education for. That's what you're paid for. Do your job. Respect the other people enough to let them do their job. It's really what it is. And I tell people, Cindy runs the business. She's chief operating officer for my business. I do not do that. I love you. I do not do that. I don't know how, and I wouldn't do it well. I'd mess it up. So Kyle, you need to mess it up.
I mean, I think we have the potential to go where everybody wants to go. It's just going to take a little bit of time, I think, and growing pains and whatnot. That's in case you wanted my opinion. I think that's, we can get there. And I think, you know, I started that, I set up the meeting on Monday for us, the three of us to get together and talk about stuff. Which I was going to check with you guys to see if you wanted to do some more of that going forward, just to kind of touch base of everything that's going on and that kind of thing. And maybe some things that you do have come up that you want to reach out to and I can help, you know, with the financial plans or whatever once we get to that point.
Okay. So what should communications look like on a good productive team? Should talk every minute, every morning for 10 minutes, every morning. Every morning. Can I say that again? Every morning. Okay. On Monday, it's a marketing meeting. It's about how you're growing. It's all about growing. It's the only thing you talk about. Friday meeting is the five-star meeting about who's doing what. Director of planning, director of implementation, director of brand management, director of leadership. Everybody's doing their job, roles and responsibilities. Executing brilliantly, move on. Every month you sit down and you meet. How are we doing versus our goals set for the year? And how are we doing in our roles and responsibility? And what's our initiative for the next month? Quarterly, how are we doing versus our goals for the year? Are we behind, ahead? How do we need to adjust? What's our pipeline look like? How big is it? Who's in it? What do the revenues look like? What do the assets look like? Semi-annual, sit down, 2 hours. How are we doing? Annual meeting, half a day. How are we doing? How'd we do? What are we going to do for the next year? You got to do it. That's it. If you want to do more than that, God bless. That's the minimum. Ebony will tell you. Andy will tell you, this is what the good teams, look, you're a good team. You're a really good team. You're doing a lot of business. Could you be better? Easily. No work and you could be better. Easily. A third more production. Easily. Just by being organized. Just by doing the things you're supposed to be doing. Does it cut down a little bit on your freedom? Yeah. But, you know, it also cuts down on the guilt. I didn't call this guy this. I haven't called him in 3 months. Oh God, the guilt that you're never done.
Yeah, and he's not going to care about the paperwork being 2 days late versus not getting the call for half a day. You know, and I think that I just realized something too. I think part of my problem is like mentally, I've been thinking things as a transition, like. Okay, well, I used to do, if there's 100 pieces, you know, I used to do, 100 of them to get from A to B. But, okay, now I'm just going to do the first 20, and then I'm going to hand off the remaining 80 to Cindy. But I think my personality, once I'm in past one, just the way I think, I'm not going to detach from it. So I just need to just keep it simple, like you said, if it's, Don't even start getting into that because then it's halfway done. And just pass it off. And what I'm realizing too is when I've done things and then passed them off and I go back and check, everything's always fine. Even if I didn't provide the answer that I think might be needed, you know, Cindy gets it done. So
Kyle, you're a lot like me where I have to get A done before I, in my mind, I can move to B, and then B has to be done before I can move to C. And I think the problem is you just have to restructure what A and B and C are in your mind.
Right,
you can
right.
still follow that path, but it's got a A and B and C have to equal different things now than they did before.
Yeah.
Because I think by me doing part and then transitioning it to C.
That's exactly how my brain works.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Kyle, if I could suggest, one of the things that you mentioned was that now you can do, you know, 1 through 20 and hand the other 80 off to Cindy. I think A for you needs to be handed off to Cindy. If it needs to come back to you, then she'll get you involved, right? The minute any of it smacks of Cindy's, don't even go deeper with the client, because that's how you get sucked in. Once you go deeper, you're going all the way to 100. But you got to start building muscle memory to Matt's point and flipping your A immediately. And I think A is Cindy, unless it specifically speaks to what your role is on the team.
And I think you're very lucky to have Cindy. And if you don't let her do her job, she won't be like being on the team.
I mean, no, you're right. I agree.
Right? You want to feel valued. You want to feel as though everybody depends on you. And that's a good feeling, right? So let her be the hero and you go and.
Well,
and it's not normal when things that are supposed to get done to be like elated and excited. So I guess that's not. No, I'm just kidding. No, I get what we're saying. No, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, it's no longer a war zone, Kyle.
Yeah, you just got to get over the PTSD and then, you know, we'll move on. It's okay. It's a detox. It's a process. We'll get there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you live in a war zone and you feel like you're not going to survive unless you take care of these things. You're not going to. So give Cindy the chance to demonstrate and gain some confidence, and then you'll gradually get so that you will not have to do everything.
Well, and it's not just Cindy, Kyle's did you have confidence.
Go ahead.
It's the clients also, you know, getting them to used to of who to speak yeah. to, that kind of thing. I go to Kyle and Keith when I want to talk about investments or my financial plan. And if I need 1099s or if I need funds, or if I just, can you help me out with Morgan Stanley Online, or, you know, I want to donate money to the church or something like that, that they know to reach me on that. And I think, sometimes that kind of helps, like I said, with the warm handoffs or that kind of thing, in approaching that. So that, and because I think that's ultimately where this is planning to go, is that's kind of, so you can get on that 12-4-2 situation, right? My understanding.
And prospect.
And prospect. To Cindy's point, I want to, before we go, just make a quick suggestion, because I was thinking about this prior to this call, that, you know, once you all reach the point where you've fully decided who's going to do what, I think it would benefit your team to formalize it in a letter to your client, introducing Cindy and, you know, introducing Cindy, talking about, you know, Kyle's transition, what he'll be doing going forward, you know, what Keith's, let the clients know what the roles are. It doesn't have to be anything super crazy, but once you all lock into place, I think you need to let the clients know and do it, in, you know, formally and in writing.
Yeah, it's a good idea, because then we could, you know, not maybe not to make the letter too long, but, you know, we could kind of encapsulate the new service model, you know,
correct.
You know, like a value prop type thing, nothing like real overburdening, but, you know, just kind of explain, you know, we're doing this to get more organized, to improve your service so you can get the most from us and everybody succeed, et cetera. Here's just a more defined way of thinking of roles, et cetera.
Yeah, and I think everybody wants a team that's got its own pockets of expertise, you know?
Yeah. And then they think of us as three resources in one that have different strengths and instead of luck of the draw.
Good. Okay. Anything else?
Yeah, I have it on good authority that Rob Knapp had a birthday in the last day or two. So happy belated birthday, Rob.
Happy birthday,
that's
Rob.
All I have.
Happy birthday, Rob.
yesterday.
Happy birthday, Rob.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I was 75. Hard to believe. Okay. But Keith, keep up the exercise. It pays off. The years are really good. the exercise is the key. I ride about 16 miles every morning. So.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks. Appreciate the well wishes.
Thanks, everybody.
Look forward to next month. Thanks.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, guys.
You guys,
thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Bill. Hey, sorry about that.